Hey, Kurt.
Hey Jason, how you doing?
Ooh, didn't sleep super well, but I'll live. How about you? How goes?
That's rough.
How about you? How's it going?
It's not too bad. These issues that we're having with these exceptions that are showing me runtime. I'm pretty sure I
Yeah.
have a handle on the Jasper ones. I think I
Well, check
know.
out. Did you see what happened
No, what?
on the? So there's another channel for the exceptions on test. And did we change something with the protocol message stuff? And excuse me. Hey guys.
No, I don't think so. What showed up on the test thing?
Like a bunch of these optimistic locking exceptions all of a sudden on the protocol logs.
Oh jeez.
Yeah, that
Okay,
shit
oh,
again.
you're right. I did actually tweak that. But it's showing up on test now?
Yeah, because we
Yeah.
just upgraded.
Can you guys hear me? Yeah, we
Yeah.
can hear you. Yeah,
But I
because
thought
I hear you guys like through some sort of, yeah, like with some interference or something. I don't know.
Oh, that happened to me
Maybe.
yesterday. I had to restart my phone and reinstall Zoom or like upgrade it.
I'm not on my phone though. I'm on my Mac.
Is there an
I'm
update?
just
Maybe like
looking
this
here. It's
weird version
yeah.
issue. Because yeah, I
It's
noticed I had to
fine.
update.
I can understand. That's fine. I can probably try to fix it later. Okay. Let me just share the screen. Yeah, and we need to talk about the looming release. Just pull up 12 words. All right, we gotta talk about the sort of the outstanding tickets, but maybe let's talk about this release first, right? Since you guys started chatting about this. So, Ian, yeah, I mean, you did the upgrade on test, right? But it looks like there's a bunch of exceptions.
Yeah, and I haven't even logged into anything yet.
Okay.
So I don't know what's going on, but it looks like something is messed up. I'm inclined to let Jason and Kirk continue because it seems like you guys are already onto something or no.
Well, so there was a change made a while back. Well, I mean, I guess it was, a while back, but it was before the latest release.
Okay.
To that, because we kept seeing that issue with the protocol logs not being not persisting on the supplier side. And so I made a change that seemed to correct that, but now it seems like on test we're seeing a whole bunch of optimistic locking exceptions, so maybe that caused more problems that we didn't know about until now.
That stunts, right? Unfortunately. Yeah. It's just funny though, like when I'm looking at this, because now it's pretty quiet, right? Is that because we don't have activity on the system? And it was pretty loud, like around, what was it? 6 a.m. my time. What is that in Sydney? Like two, yeah, okay, so like the working day. So it probably coincides with, because what I've noticed is that for whatever reason they still are using the test tenants for something. Ian, I don't know if you've noticed that, but there tends to be some activity on that test system every day. It seems to me like something maybe is messed up. They have some, like some open request that try to overdue or something, so, but there is some activity every day on that test system. Like even if we don't ask them to do anything, right? Something is going on there.
Yeah, maybe I haven't noticed one way or the other. If there's like a if they're actually doing anything, or if there's maybe I think there's Yeah, I'll have to look. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, we can pull ups because I see also a bunch of broker warnings, like request confirmation error, for example, supplier symbol, blah, 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 blah. Now we can try to pull it up. Let's see if that's anything interesting. What else? A Trove test. Trove test. Was this? Yeah, so it's tries to send a request. Yeah, somebody's created like when what is the timestamp of this? Yeah, 28. So that was yesterday. That was today. Like this morning, right? 4 a.m. So somebody is actually creating this. What is the ISO here? Can take a look. Yeah, so this is a new request, 4 a.m. AUWRPH.
Okay.
Yeah. So I don't know who that is, but they clearly use the test tenant to create requests. And there, but it is testing. Look, like author test. Somebody's testing this. I guess that's okay. That's
Yeah,
good.
did it
No,
work?
of course not. Broke. But
Oh, sick.
if they didn't look in the protocol log, maybe it's fine.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe. I don't know what it broke though.
Did we see other things?
They try to send it to Alma because I can see by this scheme. So this is like Alma is failing that request. So yeah, but it is a test. Okay, it is a test. So somebody's testing. Okay. Yeah. So they clearly were doing some tests, and I guess that's why we also saw those batch optimistic locking exceptions, but that's good in a way. Okay, so we did they did the smoke test we wanted. In the end, they didn't even know. Okay, good.
That's very helpful of them.
Yeah, very helpful. Okay, but we clearly have a problem. So how about I create a ticket for you, Kurt, to investigate this?
Yeah.
So since like when would we be putting it into prod, probably?
I don't think we should talk about putting it into prod until we got everything working, and then we can schedule
Well,
it.
of course, but I was like, yeah, do we have a fixed window or something? Like, do we have a schedule when they expect it or whatever?
I don't think
No, so. I'm trying to
no.
avoid that.
Okay.
That's, yeah.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
In
Yeah,
the
no, I
past,
was
we've
wondering,
said
like,
like
if
we're gonna do
we.
prod on this date, but it's not ready, and that's always stressful. So let's not do that again.
Right. So I think if we had a constraint like that it might be the best just to roll back any change around that because it was probably not as bad before as this. But it
Was it
sounds like we
RC?
had the option to try to fix it properly.
I'm sorry, Ian, was it RC15 that we upgraded to?
14.
14. Okay. All right. Yeah, we shouldn't do any upgrades until this is fixed, obviously. I'll keep it at P3 12 and assign to Kurtz.
Were there other new exceptions that cropped up?
I did not see anything specific. Hold on. Are you on the channel as well?
I'm
Are you guys both on the channel? Kurt, are you also on the 12 test exceptions channel?
on there, yeah.
I'm on, yeah, I'm
I
on the
mean, I
channel.
just joined this morning, but yeah.
I saw a lot of that one exception. I didn't really look too closely for other ones yet, so that's why I'm wondering.
Yeah, I don't know if there was anything besides it.
Well, that's good.
Which is good, yeah. This protocol audit service stands out. There was something. But I guess it was when it was starting, maybe. Connection leak detected. Exception. Log exception. Could not acquire change log. Currently logged by mother as liquid base exception, log exception. So I guess
Oh
that's
shit.
during the migration. Fucked. Yeah, so I could not acquire a change log. But maybe that's okay, actually, right? Because it's probably multiple instances trying to do the migration.
Yeah, probably. Maybe I did it too fast or something.
Let me just share the screen since we're looking at it. Yeah, so that was 2 a.m., which is, what is 2 a.m.?
Actually, let me find out when that job stops then, actually. Let's see.
So that was 2 8 p.m. Is that when you updated, Ian? Like late, so late in your day?
Yeah,
Or
so I started the upgrade at like 5 and let it run, and I'm just pulling up.
gotcha.
It would have stopped. Does it have a timestamp for when it stops? Well, it would have been 5 p.m. my time through 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. It would have run all the way till like 10 p.m.
Yeah. So that's probably some. It's weird though that it's kind of like in the middle of it. 2 a.m. So 2 a.m. is 8 p.m. your time.
Yeah, so that's right in the middle.
Does it usually take that long? And how many tenants was this for just the test?
Like 315, yes, it takes that long. Yep.
Oh, so
But
yeah. So this test system actually is of similar scale.
it's the same, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, there's this one that I've noticed already on other ones as well. The one interesting here. So, unable to parse BibJSON, GroovyJSON, JSON exception, unable to determine the current character. It is not a string, number, array, or object that's in the patron request in service. Maybe I should, I'll tag you here, Kurt, just so you see.
Yeah.
Man, I should really log these fascinating characters for us, or give us like the Unicode for it or something.
No, that would be too easy. All right. Anyway, okay, guys, we created a ticket for this optimistic logging. There's clearly a problem there. We need to fix before we, like, even, attempt any product upgrades. Okay, let's discuss something else.
Can I ask, there's nothing that indicates there's a problem with the new index we added, right? That seems fine.
No, I don't see anything that would indicate it, but
Yeah, okay.
did you even check that it was created?
Yeah, it was.
It was? Okay.
There's two of
Well,
Well, so the only issue is this liquid-based locking, but my guess is probably okay. It's just like one instance is doing the migration and others fail as they should. Will be maybe nice to handle the exception somehow yeah, I
gracefully.
don't know if it's supposed to do that or not. Yeah.
All right. So, okay. So we've got this one for Kurt to investigate. Then, actually, let's maybe just start with you, Kurt. Do you have any other updates? You've been looking
Yeah, I've been looking
at
at the
those.
exceptions that we've been getting on production. So two of them are related to Jasper, likely due to the way that we have set up our Jasper XML file. One of them due to the way that it formats special characters like ampersand, and the other is due to a bad setting in the tab stops that cause it to divide by zero when it's calculating the formatting. So both of
Yeah,
those should be.
let's not fix this one, because this one is we gotta keep it for posterity. This is amazing, this one.
So both of them should be correctable by changes to the XML, I think. Although I guess we got to figure out how we can verify that it's fixed once we had to make the changes. So I need to probably get with Deborah about that since she's the one who edits that typically, and see if she can tweak it so that it doesn't, so that it both will properly process the special characters, and also so that there's no zero with tab stops. So I don't know why it allows you to specify zero with tab stops if that breaks the formatter, but apparently it does.
That's ridiculous.
So,
Yeah.
and then the other issue, the one that's the closed session issue, that seems to be re related to the settings controller, and I don't know exactly where it's happening yet, but my investigations tell me that it's probably an issue with like the lazy evaluation. So it seems like it's probably trying to pull a value out of an object that's connected to the DB after the DB connection is closed already. So we either need to make sure that it's happening within a session, or that it's being like pre-initialized. So I just need to see if I can figure out where exactly in the controller it might be accessing it when the session's already closed.
Okay, cool. Yeah, maybe create a separate ticket for this one,
I
for
did,
this
yeah.
session.
So it's linked to the I there's two tickets that are linked to the investigative tickets,
Okay.
to break out those two things. So.
Got it. Okay. Should we assign this one to you then?
Yeah, I guess go ahead and give it to me.
Let's put the sprint is already set. Good. So maybe I should turn that into a nothing or something. I can. All right, cool. Yeah. So this one, but you're looking at all of them now. I'll
Yes.
put this one in progress, right? Yeah, and you fix the other ones as you go. Okay, and then let's just talk about the ZFL. We just had a meeting, and try to remind me, you are blocked on reproducing this.
Yes, I still have not heard back from Tara and Deborah about that one. So I'd asked them to show me an example, of what they were dealing with. And they didn't have anything they could demonstrate yet.
Okay. So we just assume that they will come back to you about this.
Yeah, I should probably prod them, but yeah, I need to hear from them on that one.
Okay. All right, let's skip John. Anything else, Kurt?
No, that's about all I have.
Okay. Over to you, Jason. Thanks for wrapping up all those tickets. Yeah, we've got some. What about this? Should we close this?
Yeah, I did that.
You did that, okay.
They verified everything.
Did you verify this? Like on the
I verified
environment?
it locally. I didn't verify it again on the dev environment.
That's when you create a request, basically.
That's when you create a request with a particular copyright type, and the vocabulary in ModRS is using the exact vocabulary from the standard, but the standard itself has a typo in
It's
it.
wrong. Yeah, I know. Okay, let's just quickly see. So th this should basically show
Yeah, there's actually
ACT.
yeah, is it a cat on that specific request on Melbourne or whatever? So there's already a request, like the one linked in the issue already has that particular copyright catalog, so it might be more convenient. It's not actually linked, but like the number is in the screenshot. 439, yeah.
139.
I know that's actually
That's
easier, but
gonna be on Melbourne, right?
Yeah.
I always have this issue that it doesn't, like, unless I force refresh, it doesn't load. I guess that's
That's weird.
the way it is. 4, 3. It's closed, I guess. 4, 3, 9. ACT, that's the correct one, right?
Verified.
Yeah, there you go.
Excellent QA work.
Yeah, we roll. Okay, so this one is blocked. You're waiting them on them basically to review, right? There's nothing more for
Yeah,
you to do.
that's David mentioned something on that. There is something I'm curious about though, which is if we want to merge that to master, is that going to cause a problem with any other systems? Like, was it just the ZFL gateway that needs to be updated? Like, is the cross-site broker fine with it? I don't know what else parses this stupid string out of there.
Yeah, I think that the broker doesn't care because it just passes that verbatim. But we like, did you made that change or did you make the setting for this? Or did,
I
like,
made it.
you
I just made a change. I just changed the
just
delimiter.
changed that, right? Okay,
Yeah.
so it just needs to, like, if
I
they
just want to be
update.
sure. Yeah, if I merge it to master and we put it out to Trove, like, is that going to cause anyone an issue?
What if they, have some open requests and they receive them or ship return them? Will that send,
Well, it's just the way it encodes it in the message, right? And so it would only be an issue if there was a, I think it would only be an issue if there was an ISO 8266 message in flight. But
Yeah.
those wouldn't be processed anyways. So, because, like, if you upgrade the whole system, then all the new messages will use the new delimiter.
Just remember that you also have ALMA, right? So, like, if something went out to ALMA and for whatever reason it used this delimiter, ALMA will send you the same value verbatim.
Ah, okay, that might be an issue.
It might be. Let's think about this more. Just maybe put a note on it, Jason. Okay. Well, we need to think a little bit about this. Yeah, we don't want to fuck up Trove with this.
Yeah,
Maybe we need to
that's why
take
I
a
didn't
look
just
at
merge
some.
it.
All right. And then another is the FL tickets. You're looking into this one?
I can't see the title because you scrolled down.
It's the phrases.
Yeah, okay. So there were two more things that I was willing to do. There was a vocabulary that's used for just them, like the SLNP abort supply. And so I was going to translate that. And I was also going to, there were these strings that are encoded on the server side for a directory, like managed somewhere, and then there is something indicating no tags was hard coded. And so I was going to come up with a reasonable way to render those as translated strings as well, because those are actually visible to people in their day-to-day workflow. I wanted to push back on translating the custom properties nonsense and directory that we don't that the ZFL doesn't even use,
Yeah,
because
I think that's fine.
whatever. And then there's this one settings area. So when you have the a settings section where it's being fully generated by all the KANT code, for ref data vocabularies and stuff, it just uses the labels as they are on the vocabulary that aren't internationalized. And we would have to make a whole alternative set of components for displaying settings. Like, we have to fork those and stuff, and it would be a whole thing. So I think we should just not do that because it's just the settings.
Yeah, I think that's probably okay to push back.
So,
Yeah.
but I think you can do the other two that are left. I'll do that today or whatever. And then is the next thing I should do starting to migrate the UI packages to make them compatible with Ramsons, or is there something else
Well,
that's more
so I
pressing?
was, my impression, because we had the ZFL meeting just before this meeting, my impression is that those guys still need a little bit of time to even get the environments in shape, fix a bunch of folio issues on those environments before they are in like a mode where they can review all those tickets and really get going. So I don't want to say don't do it at all, but maybe. Yeah, let's finish this one. And before you start the Ramsons transition, could you maybe look into the Trove tickets? Because we have those two tickets that should be relatively low-hanging fruit, and it would be nice to get them completed. So maybe since we're gonna delay that Trove release, maybe we can ship the whole thing. So
Okay.
I assigned this one to you, the exposed sender of messages in chat pane.
Okay.
It's something we discussed, but then I think Mallory said that they actually requested this.
Yeah, it's absolutely insane that we don't do this because how are you supposed to know which supplier was saying that? Like,
So I don't know if
what?
that information is already available in the message, and you just need to show it, or would you need to like store it somehow? Like, is
I don't
how
know.
come?
I haven't looked at that in forever, so I'll have to dig into it.
Yeah, so if you can prioritize that over the Ramson stuff, I think they'll be great because maybe this is
Okay.
like something simple you can fix. And looking at the outstanding ones, there is also this one. Maybe it makes sense for you to look at it as well. So handle errors when reach your user messages supply when requests are in terminal state. Basically, I think what she wants is that when you send a message and it doesn't get delivered, it should show that it doesn't get delivered. So we will return a confirmation error. If you try to send a message to the broker and that supplier is either gone or like failed or like whatever or cannot be reached, then you will get a conf like this confirmation error, isolated successive confirmation error. So I don't know if do we even consider that? Do you know? Or do we always
No
send
idea.
this? Okay. Yeah.
So
So,
is that like a XML formatted HTTP error, or
yeah.
when does this
So,
error
and
come
that's
back?
synchronous. That is synchronous. So, like when you send a when you send an ISO message, right, with POST,
Yeah.
you're gonna get a confirmation reply immediately as a response to that POST, XML confirmation. And there is a status field that says whether it was okay or error. And if the
Okay.
broker cannot deliver, it will give you error. But it probably gets lost, right? Because the UI probably just fires off of some action and that posting actually happens like behind the scenes.
Asynchronously, yeah.
So you would need to like somehow push it down to the UI, I guess, to be able to show that the message wasn't delivered.
Yeah, and I'm also wondering, like, how on earth am I going to simulate this situation in my dev environment so that I can actually play with it?
You know how you can do it? You could. Let me just think about this. Fuck, I think I fixed an issue in the broker that would allow you to reproduce it.
So get an old version of the broker that still has this issue and
So this is primarily on the supplier, right? So because the supplier can potentially message after it unfilled. So it could be messaging on a transaction where it's not an active supplier anymore. And I think we fixed that. So the broker will actually consider that and forward that message to the requester if it's one of the skipped suppliers. How could you test this? You could test it on the requester. Like if you get a request that goes to the end of RADA and then you start messaging, then you could actually see it.
but I thought reshare is fine with that, that it's just Alma that doesn't like it.
Well, all I'm saying is that, well, Alma is gonna give you also like the confirmation error, which then the broker just forwards. So the end result will be the same. But you could essentially simulate that by creating a transaction, make it go to the end of Rota, and then start messaging. Because I assume that it will let you, right? Will it let you message?
Yeah, I think so. On reshare.
So if reshare lets you message on a transaction from the requester, I mean, on a message that went to, on a request that went to end of Rota, you will see the confirmation errors from the broker because you'll be trying to message something and the broker doesn't have, any active suppliers, so it doesn't know like where to forward this. So it will give you this confirmation error immediately. And that is
I
basically
don't.
the same.
So my local environment, I don't have Kubernetes set up with the broker. So, but that's fine because I'm just doing the UI. So I, no, I'm not. Yeah, this is back end as well. Yeah.
Unfortunately, I think this is backend, right? Because it doesn't do it via ISO from the UI, right? And it goes through some action. So, but maybe best to have like a test,
Yeah, I'd say I just make an integration test for it.
and a fixed confirmation error response. I can send you one if you want. You can also just dig it out from the broker. Like there's some test XMLs. You can see a confirmation one.
If there is one for confirmation error, yeah, just shoot me a link to that or whatever.
I'll drop it in.
Awesome.
Okay, I'll assign those two to you, but just take the maybe the other one that's maybe simpler.
Yeah, I would expect so. So for the messaging, are we cool with just putting the, because we just want to indicate on the supplier side, right? Like for a supplier, just put their symbol and then a colon kind of thing, or are we looking for some more elaborate formatting?
I think where you want to where you want to display though is on the requester side, right? Because the requester can receive multiple messages from different
Right.
suppliers.
Right. But the there's no point in putting the requester symbol and cluttering up like their responses with the requester symbol. It's just the supplier messages would have a symbol in front of them.
I guess so, but just make whatever looks nicer, right? Kind of like, I don't know. What chat applications usually do? Do they show your name also in
Yeah,
the
actually pretty
message?
often. It depends what's multi-party.
Do whatever you think looks nice, right? So it doesn't take too much real estate. Okay.
Yeah, that's the issue. It's really cramped in there, so we don't have a lot of room.
But the ISOs are short, hopefully, right? So if you just stuff it before the date, for example, in bold or something, then it should just look okay. Like they're not very long, the ISO codes. I think if you just put the ISO, it should be fine, right? Don't put them the name.
Yeah.
I think that's
I'll
what
play
should
with
be able to.
it. What I can do. So I'll probably do that first, just in case maybe we want to put that out in this release. And then I'll do the two translation things for ZFL, just because that ticket's been open forever. And then I'll hunker down and start working on the
Confirmation errors.
confirmation errors. Yeah, exactly.
Cool. Sounds
Okay.
good.
Works for me.
Thank you. And then, Ian, is there anything we need to discuss? I don't think you have anything, right? I mean, it's just this release, but it seems like Kurt's going to be looking at the problem. Did you create a third tenant?
No, I haven't created it. I can do that. What's the urgency of this?
Well, it's just that I would like to test this messaging skip suppliers and to message that I need to have a Rota with at least two suppliers, one of
Yeah.
which is going to unfill.
Yes, we.
Jason will also need that, to be honest, to like we will need that when Jason is finished with this guy so we can actually review this the those tickets.
Yeah, I can set up a tenant. It might be helpful to have Mallory around for configuration, but I'll set it up. I guess we need to add them to the directory, and
Yeah,
they'll just
if
get the
we could.
default configs. I don't know if there's anything else needed beyond that. I'm not sure.
No, just like essentially a clone of Melbourne or Sydney
Sure.
would be best, I think, just to make sure that it shares the same tiers, you know, and networks that
What's
we
the
can actually send the
capital
request.
of Australia? Canberra? We'll do Canberra.
Yeah, I think I put Brisbane here, but you do whatever you want,
Oh,
do
okay.
whatever you like.
Awesome. Sure. Adelaide. All right. Yeah. I will clone it.
Okay, thank you. Okay, cool. I think we're done. Oh, since I have you here, Ian, maybe the kind of step moving away from ZFL, just for not ZFL, what is this trope? I don't know if you saw, but there was a ticket with some, like, you guys tried to update Reservoir and you start getting some timeouts, right?
Yeah. So David updated Reservoir and Kelsey the other night. And it was, I guess, not performing. So he wanted to revert it. So I reverted it.
I think it was more than they wasn't performing. Actually, he sent me this log and it was basically timing out
Yeah.
on that count.
Yep.
Now, you know, I did a little bit of investigation with Adam on this, and
Yeah.
it this seems to me like this is not an idle timeout, because initially I thought, okay, this count is probably taking forever and there
Yeah,
is some
kind of
idle
what I thought,
time.
but yeah.
But it's not it. I mean, like, Vertex is only that PG driver is only going to throw that timeout when it's a connect timeout. It means that it cannot connect to the database.
Okay.
I don't know why that would be the case. I started maybe suspecting that is there some sort of SSL craziness with that RDS that we didn't disable in the client or something? You know, like, there could be some sort of connection option, I think, maybe that does it.
Maybe. I mean, I figure if he, I can check what he deployed exactly, but maybe, no, it must have. I'll check the database settings, but I assume it used the same ones on the one that's currently working, so I don't
I
know
think
why that
so.
would
And
come through.
also it cannot be just straight up database settings, because I think if it was a
It
like a
wouldn't work at
you
all.
know bad yeah database user
Yeah.
whatever, we would get a sensible message.
Right.
But
Something like couldn't log in or whatever.
exactly. So it would give up immediately, right? And this just hangs and Veritex times it out after 30 seconds. So it just hangs that connection to the database. So but also what I wanted to tell you, I left you a message here, and David, it would be better, I think, if you guys did not touch the existing deployments and just make a new deployment from that chart that we made. We will extend that health check in that chart, you know, the readiness and liveness health check, right? To do like a deep health check. So it's gonna try to do like select one on the database. So let's go that route. Let's make a new, just not to fuck up anything that the customers use, you know. This reservoir doesn't do anything if you just boot it up, because it doesn't even run OAI PMH. It needs to get triggered by the cron job or whatever, right? So it's relatively safe to have a new instance. Just spin up a new deployment with the same database connection, and then we can see. And we're gonna extend the
Sure.
health check so that when you guys spin it up, when you spin up that chart, if it cannot connect to the database, it's gonna die immediately, right? It's gonna go in this crash loop, and it's gonna start restarting it. So you will see immediately up during deployment that it fails. You would like, because I don't know effectively if he tried anything else, you know, when he said this, I don't know whether he tried like some other requests and that was the only one that failed for him, or did he only try the count and that failed, because this looks to me like it just did not connect to the database whatsoever, but maybe I'm wrong. So with that health check, it's just gonna do like a very simple connection, you know, like connect to the database and just do like a select one. So yeah, so it will not even start up if it cannot connect.
Can we go back? It's like you were talking about having it running the new version side by side with the old one.
Yeah,
But
I think that would be better if you just like put up, but don't enable, like don't change anything
Not
in the
enabled.
tablet.
Okay, I understand. So even
Yeah,
if it's not enabled, we can still test it.
we can
How
still
do we do
test
that?
it. I need to get access to the cluster, or you can just expose this via, like some ingress. That would be also fine. But maybe that's not even needed because we're gonna put that health check in there, So you guys will see immediately when it boots up that it cannot connect to the
Okay.
database. So
And
when you deploy
it
it,
won't
you
need
will
to be
see,
enabled for
boom.
that, I guess.
Yeah,
So, okay.
don't enable for
All
the
right.
tenants. Yeah. So until we get it actually up and running from that chart, I don't think we should be switching them to the new version.
That's fine. They're waiting on something in there, right? That's why we're rushing. Yeah.
Yeah, I think he had this reservoir. The main problem that caused the delay.
Okay. Yeah,
Oh
I
yeah, he
asked
cannot
about that
readjust. He gets the, some duplicate key value violates unique constraints. So there was a bug in the reservoir. He cannot arrange this data for one of the organization, I think.
earlier. Okay.
This USPST, Penn State. Yeah. So it blocks this one. DevOps 56. 53.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
All right, so I'll start. I mean, I haven't deployed the chart anywhere, so I'll do that on a dev thing, and we'll talk again after that.
Sounds good. All right, thank you guys. Have a good one.
Yeah, you too. Sorry, one more thing. Just as far as this upgrade goes, we're just waiting for some debugging and patches for that. We're not going to do anything with it. Just leave it where it is, right?
Yeah, maybe should I create like a ticket for you and then block it?
That's okay. I mean, sure. But yeah, I'm just trying to figure out if there's any action required from me today. It sounds like no, not in particular on this.
Yeah, let me just make it so upgrade trove prod to latest release, right? Whatever that release is gonna be, because maybe we need to make a new one now. And I'll assign that to you. And then we will. Can I link it from here? Yeah, it's blocked by. What was the ticket we created? Optimistic blocking something. Yeah, this one, 204. What did I do? I think it's this print field 18. Yeah. So I just blocked it on the one we created for cards, this optimistic locking exception on drop test. Sounds good.
Question for you.
What?
Should I ignore that channel and just directly go into these tickets, or and like is anyone going to be looking through to see if there are other interesting exceptions that came up in test?
I think you don't need to spend too much time on it. I'll be kind of keeping an eye on it, and I know also that DN is kind of looking at it. So, like, yeah, I'll be creating tickets for anything that comes
Okay.
up. Yeah, I
Someone's
think
on
for
it. Good to
now,
know.
I think for now, if Kurt is looking at this one is the most serious one, right? Because that shows up.
Well, it's the most frequent one anyways, but maybe it doesn't destroy any data, so it's fine. But I don't know. Yeah, it's noisy anyhow.
Yeah, it's noisy as hell.
I also wanted to give a quick shout out to how useful Claude Code was at determining where I needed that index, because I was able to paste in that query fragment. And giving Claude the code base, it was able to trace it back to what Grails abstraction in like what ORM stuff in the code was actually likely generating that query, which is usually really hard to kind of go backwards from. So that's a helpful tool for sure.
What did you use, Jason? Did you use Claude Code?
Yeah, Claude Code.
I'm really curious about it, and I was I'm really fed up with Copilot. I don't know. Did you use Copilot?
I've never worked with it.
Yeah. So I've been using Copilots, and with Copilot, you can actually choose the model. So I used Claude Sonnet, I think 3.7 at that point, because they didn't have 4 yet. And then I switched to Gemini Pro 2.5. But it seems to me like they're either pre-prompted or something, and they tend to have the same kind of issues, the same limitations. And I got really fed up with it. Like, it's slow, much slower than just using straight up ChatGPT or, like Gemini in this chat app directly. And it just started like pissing me off. And also the pull request reviews from it were pretty poor, I would say. So I'm really kind of curious about this Claude Code because I heard a lot of good things about it. So yeah, I'll give it a shot, and maybe maybe we should like give it, if it really is nice, then maybe we should try to get some, like some commercial licenses for it. I don't like it doesn't have limitations and stuff.
So it has basically there it's just got tiers. So you have a limit that resets every 5 hours, and with the $20 a month plan, you can really only use Sonnet. You can't it won't even let you use the Opus model. And with the $100 a month plan, apparently you run out of Opus pretty quickly anyways. But from what I understand, Opus isn't really that much better than Sonnet in terms of actually coding. It's just better at reasoning and architecture and actually like planning overall implementation, that kind of thing. And so potentially for what we're using it for, I don't even know if it'll make that much of a difference that it's worth it. Yeah, I don't know. I've just been using Sonnet and the $20 plan, and it's worked pretty well. And yeah, it's got a limit that resets every 5 hours. And then there's another, they're just introducing a weekly limit because some people were scripting it so that it was basically continuously maxing out the limit. And they said that it used over $10,000 of compute when they were using the large model on the max plan.
Yeah.
So they paid $200 to use 10,000 resources. So they're putting some sort of upper bounds on usage for a weekly limit
Yeah.
as well. But
Yeah.
we
Yeah.
should run into that in normal use, basically. And
Yeah.
so
Yeah.
right now it's heavily subsidized. Like, there's no way they're currently making money on it. They're still
Yeah.
spending massively. So right now we can just enjoy it for
Yeah.
what it
Yeah.
is.
Yeah, I will definitely give it a shot. I kind of liked Copilot because of the Visual Studio Code integration. So I kind of like the fact that it shows up, like just there, right? Like it's got the highlighted line as the context and the open file as the context, so you just can quickly prompt it without, but again, it's just slow and it's annoying. And even when I tried different models, I was just not getting the same nice results. I'm using Gemini, this 2.5 Pro.
Gemini's pretty terrible, I've heard, for code purposes.
Actually, no, I don't think it's bad. Actually, we have it because I th we because of this Google Workspace, we have the access to that Pro version, unlimited, I think.
Oh, wow. Okay, so I should try with my Nextdata account.
Yeah, try with your Indexed Data accounts, and I use, but I don't use it like it's worse than ChatGPT for just like regular stuff. But if you use this deep research, like I fed it the client from the broker because it got really like it there's some like the way it like there's so many conditions now and they're so nested that it's just like mind-boggling. I can't wrap my head around this anymore. I need to like find a better solution. So I gave it like those functions, and I told them what I want to achieve, and it gave me pretty cool sort of refactoring results with like the decision object strategy. When it tries to kind of do like conditionals and return different decision objects based on the values as a pure function, so you can really easily test it like without any I/O. And then decoupling
Nice.
IO, like sending the message and actually accessing the database completely out of it. It was pretty awesome. So I'm gonna do this strategy. I'm going to like redo all the clients with that strategy in mind. But yeah, I mean, so I really liked it. But just that deep research, and it takes a while, right? So you're gonna like prompt it, give it the file, You can go grab some coffee, come back in 20 minutes, and then it's gonna generate your report. But it's not bad, I gotta
Okay.
say.
Yeah, I tried the deep research mode on like the free account with ChatGPT just for like investments and stuff, and I was like underwhelmed at what it came back with. But I haven't tried using deep research for coding yet, so maybe I should give that a go.
Now, try, especially that we have access to this pro version,
Yeah,
right?
may as well. Okay. So
All
I
right.
so the, one thing I really liked about the console-based things versus the VS Code integration, I'm a little bit leery about just running at my computer, and it was nice to be able to sandbox it in a container. And so I use Podman, which is rootless. Whereas like Docker, if it escapes the container, it's the daemon is running as root. So I don't know. Maybe it's kind of an illusory level of security, but it's something just to have it kind of locked down. It's at least as good as the chroot jail anyway. I can give you the Docker file if you want that I use for this.
Sure, whatever. I mean, we should definitely do like some sort of knowledge sharing session at some point. Maybe you devote this pointless Friday exercise at some point, kind of,
Yeah,
to a lot of
I
people.
was talking with Seb that I might use next Friday for that because a lot of us were kind of expecting meetings, so people should potentially have pretty good availability in that time slot, and then just whoever is interested.
We should totally do it. I like what I'm still kind of like I'm really looking forward to this cloud code because what I want to get is something that is relatively like quick, like it can give me like I like the, really the thing that pisses me off with Copilot is just it's too slow. And I often spend so much time kind of prompting and waiting for it that I feel like, okay, I'm just totally better off, especially if it's like some simple refactorings, right? I mean, they traded a lot of the build in Java and Go refactoring, like those just standard ones, non-NLM ones. They almost removed it, or they don't even maintain them anymore because of the LLM. But the LLM is so slow. It's like that, if you want to extract the method or like do some stuff, the traditional one is just blazingly fast, right? It does it immediately. With this shit, if you like need to prompt it, then apply it, then it usually makes a mistake or something. It's just like unusable. So it just drives me crazy. I cannot use it. But I really heard good things about this cloud code, so I want to give it a try because I mean, there's so much you can actually get from it, right? It's just that it needs to be done in a like useful way, convenient way. And GitHub Copilot isn't convenient.
I think they also it's they a lot of the prompting that happens behind the scenes, they've optimized it very well. Like people were saying that they would have much better results with the Claude Code client and Sonnet than with some of these other tools and Sonnet. So it's the same model behind the scenes, just the way they're using it. And that it's also pretty fast. Apparently they actually fall back to like their 3.5 model, like one of their smaller models, kind of selectively based on what it's doing. So it's switching between models a lot behind the scenes.
A lot of people say that the good thing is to have like this architecture MD file and kind of describe the architecture of the project and also like some sort of contributing guidelines. What do you want to achieve? How the code should be structured? Like just describe all of that up front and then like pre-prompted always with that file when whatever you do, and you
So
will get much
I
better
built that
results
with,
this way.
I saw that GPT-5 apparently is actually better for that, what people were saying anyways. And since I wanted to use Claude Code, I was playing with just like vibe coding something to see what I could just generate out of nothing, basically. And I used GPT-5 to come up with a architecture and have it describe it step by step. And then I fed that to Claude Code, and it actually was able to implement it. The results were pretty good.
That's nice. It's
And like,
definitely
I was
so.
doing, I had three, like I had a client and I had two Go backends, and I had it doing web sockets and stuff. And I was always just seem like, there's still timing issues. Maybe make another integration test. I just keep sending it back.
Oh, that's pretty crazy. No, it is. Yeah, it can be very useful. I really just want to make sure that it integrates better in how I work because now
Well,
it's
that's just
like
it. I try not to
yeah.
use it too much at work because it can also just waste your time.
Yeah. It can. All right. Okay. Yeah, we should definitely try to share some. Yeah, maybe that Slack channel is a good idea, and we should share some experiences and try maybe to settle on some tool like have Index Data get some pro licenses for it.
Well, the thing is that the pro license for Claude Code is an extra $5 a month, and it gives you the same tokens. It's just got some like enterprise collaboration tools and stuff that you pay extra for, basically.
Oh, okay.
So it doesn't really add anything useful to do that. Well, maybe, but I didn't really look into them too much as to like how they'd be useful, but I don't think it's like really giving you additional core functionality.
Yeah. Yeah, I see. Well, let's see, right? I mean, I'm sure they all gonna now try to release some better development tools and push on that. So I'm guessing OpenAI will also make some sort of tooling for developers.
Yeah, they are. No, I'm playing with that one. I keep meaning to play with it because they've. So Codex is what they call the OpenAI one, and it didn't even used to be able to search the web. Like it was very minimal by comparison to Claude Code, and they just added that recently. So,
yeah,
because I like being able to like link it to a file on GitHub or something. It's like, oh, this is actually the source for that class that it's pulling in from some other dependency or whatever. It's just like keep this in mind, or hey, this web page over here says something. Like it's important for it to have web access.
Yeah. You know, this Google Gemini 2.5, again, I don't think it's bad, right? I mean, you just need to kind of push it the right way. But there is a plugin for Visual Studio Code, and I think that's like the lowest ranked plugin from a commercial organization. I think it's got like 2.5 stars or something. It's
wonderful.
Terrible. Yeah. So, but I'm sure they're gonna improve it. I heard a lot of good things about Cursor and this WinServe.
Those are the whole UIs and stuff. I really quite like just having it kind of in the container. It makes it. I don't know. It's like
staying here.
But it's reassuring
to me. Exactly. I mean, just like a whole. It feels to me like it's just a temporary bullshit. Like they're forking Visual Studio and building full blown, like IDs on top of.
I don't want to change my workflow just because of
same here. I think it's just temporary. I think it's all gonna go away, right? So yeah, we just need better tools from Google and OpenAI and Claude and then Anthropic. So yeah, I think that's probably the way to go. Yeah, so I don't have to change the ID and stuff. So I did and then try this. But people do say good things about this WinSurf. That is pretty cool. Yeah,
I haven't heard that one come up too much. Interesting.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, guys. So let's chat about this again, and then maybe bring it up during one of those team meetings. Otherwise, I think we're good, right? Everybody has the cuts. Thanks, guys. Talk to you next week. Bye.
All right. Bye.
Oh, I'm sorry. Is there some sort of holiday on Monday?
Yeah, Labor Day for Canada and the US.
Yeah, Canada too, yeah.
Okay, so you guys are going to be off, right, Monday?
Yep.
I will probably be off. If I don't take it off, I'll let you know.
And I'm taking tomorrow off because I worked yesterday.
Yeah, that's fine. All right, cool. Thank you, guys. Talk to you soon.
All right, bye. Yeah.